you know, something that's been on my heart for a little while is, you know, being a warrior, what it means to be a warrior. We all know that we've been called to be warriors. We all know that that's what we're trained to be. That's what we're taught to be. That's what we learn to be every single day, day in and day out. So anyway, in this, what we're going to talk today is, it's the title of the teaching is The Way of a Warrior. We all know, as I was saying, we're called to be warriors for the kingdom of heaven. And in this, there is a way, a pathway to being that warrior that God has called us to be. There's physical warriors, there's spiritual warriors. A lot of the characteristics and traits of a physical warrior we use as a spiritual warrior. Discipline, consistency, steadfastness, obedience. Those are all traits of a warrior. So, the definition of a spiritual warrior, this is not in the dictionary. This is my own personal definition that I believe the Lord gave me, is one who fights for righteousness no matter how he feels. You being a warrior is not dictated on your feelings. Amen. Seven virtues of a warrior are discipline, consistency, obedience, steadfastness, humility, trustworthy, and a true worshiper. Seven virtues of a warrior are discipline, consistency, obedience, steadfastness, humility, trustworthy, and a true worshiper, which is pretty much the glue of every virtue you can have. Without being a true worshiper, you will not survive on the other ones alone. So in this, we know that we've been called to a house of training. We've been called to a house of discipleship. We've been called to a house of raising up disciples. After we have been discipled, we are called to raise disciples. And there is a process that we go through. There's a process of severing the old and welcoming in and stepping into the new and practicing the new day in and day out. And where that all starts is discipline. Discipline is the number one start place for each and every one of us. I know for me personally, I came from a background of a completely undisciplined lifestyle. I did whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. That was my life of my own personal discipline. I was disciplined to not be disciplined. Amen. And a lot of us come from that same exact background. So the first thing God has to do to be able to use us as a warrior is to get us to a place where we become disciplined. Once you become disciplined, you can be consistent. Once you become consistent, you are walking in obedience. Once you are obedient, the Lord is he's standing in the gap for you because you are abiding by his commands and his laws and staying faithful to his authority. He will cause you to be steadfast, which is immovable. Amen. And it's only by being humble that you can do the first four steps, which will bring you to a place where God can trust you. And all this is knit together and held together by being a true worshiper in spirit and truth. Amen. So let's get to the first scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 9. We're going to start at verse 24, go through 27. There's a lot of stuff that we're called to do that we're not used to. This is a good thing. Because if you were used to this stuff, you probably would have been doing it a long time ago and you wouldn't be here. Amen. You'd have been practicing this stuff already. So coming here with a mindset of knowing that I have messed up everything in my life. Today's a new day. God's going to give me an opportunity to make everything right, to get filled, dressed, and possessed, to get set free, and to become useful for the kingdom of God. So the automatic first thing that you need to be disciplined is knowing that you know nothing. You know absolutely nothing. God is trying to do a new thing. Amen. And in that, he is going to bring a whole lot of new things that are there to save your life and get you on a path to freedom and on a path to fulfilling his will. So that is the first step in being disciplined, is submitting to the new rules, the new regulations, the new things that you're supposed to practice every day. And one of the biggest ones that we learn is first striking. Without being a first striker and being disciplined every single day in the morning time to strike first, attack the enemy, destroy the enemy, even for things that you're not even struggling with at the time. You attack them just so you can attack them, because you don't know what's coming later on down the road. Just because you're not feeling angry or you're not feeling stressed out or fearful right now, you attack those demons regardless, because there will be a time and a day where those things will try and come, and you will have already defeated those enemies in advance, because you are a steadfast warrior who is destroying the powers of darkness. Whether you're feeling those things attacking you or not, you're setting yourself up for success in the future, because you're going to be like, nope, I have dominion over you. Fear can't come. Lust can't come. That lie cannot come. I kicked your butt 3 days ago and then every day up until this point. So there's no room for you. Amen? So first striking is not just, I feel bad about this, so I'm going to pray for this. I feel bad about that, so I'm going to pray for that. It's taking it to the devil with every single thing that could possibly come at you to bring you out of position every day, day in and day out. Amen? 1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So we see and know that that's going to take work. It's going to take practice. It's going to take making mistakes. It's going to take submitting to other people who probably know a whole lot more than you do and saying, you know what, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to appreciate where God has put me, where he has placed me. I'm going to submit and surrender. I'm going to discipline my mind, my body, my will, my emotions to receive this new way of life that God is trying to show me, and I'm going to walk it out each and every day. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to ask for help. I'm going to say, you know what, Lord, I don't have a clue, but I know you do, and I know you're going to walk me through it. It is vitally important that we not only discipline ourselves with, you know, the praying, with the worshiping, and with, you know, coming to services and praying with each other and prayer partners and all that stuff, but also disciplining your body as far as your intake of food, your intake of what you eat, what you drink, what you watch, what you listen to. What are your desires leading you towards? Are you trying to hurry up and get a job? Are you trying to hurry up and get a car? Are you trying to hurry up and get your driver's license? Trying to hurry up and get your kids? Those are things that we have to be asking ourselves. Who told us that? Where did it come from? God, is it time for this or is it not time for this? Amen. So we must discipline ourselves to be obedient and pay attention to the ones that are in charge, that God has put an authority over us, so that we have counsel that is from God in order to stay disciplined in the correct things and not allow the enemy to lead us astray. Discipline is the beginning of everything. When you lack discipline, you lack the power to overcome evil. If you can't overcome evil, you will never be free. So another part of discipline is consistency. Once you become disciplined, you start disciplining yourself to get up early in the morning, to seek the Lord, to do things with the Lord on your own time, on your own accord, your own will, not just always doing what you're told to do, but doing things that are outside of what you're told to do, to seek the Lord, to learn about his kingdom, to learn about what he's called you to. You start becoming consistent in doing that. So discipline brings consistency, and you stay consistent in those things that God has brought you into to be disciplined in. So Romans 8, verses 1 through 11. It says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So that means there is cooperation. You don't just get the things of God without cooperating with the plan of God. Amen. There are righteous requirements that we have to discipline ourselves to follow through and stay consistent in following those things through. It says in verse 5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So we must also be disciplined and consistent to set our minds. This takes a conscious effort to set our minds on the things of the Spirit and not allow the things of the flesh or our old man to dictate our thoughts and actions. Amen? And this takes practice. And verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Does anybody want to be miserable in here? Nobody wants to be miserable. So we have to grab a hold of what it takes to have the peace. Being disciplined and consistent in those areas will cause you to maintain a life and a mind of peace. So if you're miserable, you have the power to stop being miserable. Amen? It's as simple as that. In verse 7 it says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh, undisciplined, not consistent, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we consistently walk in the Spirit, fruits of righteousness begin to manifest. When we get disciplined and stay consistent in the Spirit, we are able to say no to the enemy, which leads us to being obedient. So we all know and we've learned that God is bringing us down. He's bringing us down a narrow path. Amen. And there are things that we have to encounter, embrace, and grab a hold of in order to make it through that narrow path and be brought home and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So once we become disciplined, we are maintaining consistency. Once we become disciplined and consistent, we step into a life where we are being obedient, which is something that not a lot of us have been used to most of our lives. 1 John 2, verses 1 through 6. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." He says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." So what does that mean? That means we are called to walk the way Jesus walked. Jesus was the ultimate definition of an obedient warrior for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And although we're not going to be perfect, that is our goal day in and day out, is to be like Jesus. We all know and we've learned that Jesus looks for Jesus. Amen. The world is looking for Jesus. They don't really know it deep down inside, but they know it. There is a subconscious thing inside of each and every one of us that is truly looking and desiring Jesus. And we may be the only opportunity that they get to see Jesus. So without walking disciplined, consistent, and obedient, those individuals that need to see Jesus may never see him. And that blood is on our hands. So we've got to come to the realization that our life is not only about our life. It's not about what I can get. It's not about what I can do. It's not about how I can serve myself, the things that I can acquire in this life. It's about what can I do in this temple to influence all these temples out here. Amen. And we heard stuff over the weekend about a house divided will not stand. So you can think that you're acting obedient or acting disciplined and consistent in front of everybody, but what you're doing behind closed doors, it will manifest in the presence of everybody sooner or later. There's only so long you will get away with your faking it to make it. Amen. God will pull your card sooner or later. So you must make sure that you are examining yourself constantly and not allowing the enemy to sway you into a mindset of thinking that you're doing all these things and you're getting away with all this stuff, because you're not fooling anybody. And people see, they know the presence. Even worldly people know the presence. They understand that presence. They can sense that presence. They know when there's something different, and they know when there's something just like them. Obedience to God's commands and his authority. So hear this out, all right? Obedience to God's commands and his authority. Those are people that have been put in position in your life that have been appointed by God, whether you agree with it or not, you like it or not. Tough. If you can't submit to it, you don't reap the benefits of the kingdom. So obedience to God's commands and his authority will cause you to permeate the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this is truly what the lost are looking for. Without obedience, we are powerless to rescue the lost and ourselves. So I know for me, you know, early on, I heard all these new teachings and heard this whole new way of life, and was told you need to do this, you need to not do this, you need to do this, you have to do this, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, and all this stuff. And so, you know, you hear all this stuff, and you hear people telling you all this stuff, and, you know, your first mindset is, what do they know? You know, like, you have that rebellious spirit that you're dealing with when you first come in and you're hearing all this stuff. You know better because you're still stupid and thinking that you know better, even though you have nothing. You've destroyed your entire life, everybody around you. Nobody wants nothing to do with you, but you're still full of pride somehow. I don't understand it. But, you know, it was pretty cool because God, like, really put me in front of a mirror. And he's like, dude, you're an idiot. Just make peace with it. And know that you're not going to be an idiot forever if you just listen to me. And I was like, okay. You know, like, how do you argue with that? Here's God saying, you know, you're a moron. You screwed up your whole life, but don't worry, I got you. All right? So there's this opportunity that he gives each and every one of us. And in that, he comes down with such great love and compassion on us and says, I'm going to remove that rebellious spirit. If you do all this stuff and you abide by all this stuff, I'm going to show you some of the most amazing stuff you could ever think of in your entire life. And so, you know, you hear this. It's a promise. It's a promise that God gives you. And he says, but you're going to have to cooperate with my plan. Which means in order to get to the promise, there's going to be a little time in between A and D. You're going to have to go through, what's the alphabet again? B and C. To get to D. Amen? So that means that you may not see a bunch of cool stuff right away. But you know by faith that if you obey, you stay disciplined, consistent, and obey what he's saying, that there is something on the other end that he's going to show you. So, you know, when you first come in, you start hearing all this stuff. Do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. You shouldn't do that, whatever. If you just do it, exactly how it's told to you to do, you will be blown away and shocked and put in awe on the things you will see. And I'm telling you this from my own experience, because when I finally shut up and submitted and said, you know what, this stuff is weird. I probably should have just taken the plea to go to prison and not come here. But I said, you know what, I'm here. I'm going to listen. I'm going to shut up. I know I'm an idiot, and I know God doesn't want me to be an idiot forever. I'm going to do it. And when I started doing it, it took a little while of getting disciplined, staying consistent in doing those things, which is being obedient. But the things that came out of that were mind-blowing. The revelations, the freeness, the tears, the freedom, the hand of God coming down and touching my heart, touching inside of me, seeing him pull things out, remove those things from my past that brought so much pain and hurt and suffering, watching them leave as I did the things I was told to do by my authority, it was like, I ain't never going back. there's no way to go back. Because you know that God's love is so real, and he has pinpointed you out and allowed you to see this stuff, experience this stuff, feel this stuff, and know his love, there's no way you could ever go back and hurt him. And that's the problem why a lot of people go back, is because they never submit at the beginning and surrender and obey to get to that point where they truly get the revelation that God is in love with you. So I encourage you, no matter where you're at today, sever all that nonsense and submit and surrender. Get disciplined, get consistent, obey and walk it out. And the things to come are phenomenal. Let me see here. What did I say to go? Psalms 57, 1 through 11. So in that, you get to this place where you've been obedient. Now you got God on your side. Now God is fighting for you because you have been faithful. You have been consistent and walking in his will, walking in his ways. So now no matter what comes, no matter the trouble, no matter the fight, no matter the suffering, no matter the circumstances around you, God is on your side now. So now you're going to get through it. You're starting at verse 1. Let's read it together. It says, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. Until these calamities have passed by, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions." Anybody ever feel like that, man? Hallelujah. "My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awake in the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth." No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're being attacked with, no matter what circumstances are, no matter what's happening to your family, what's going on in the world, however hard it gets, get before the Lord and praise him with everything you have. That is the key. That is the answer to everything. It will get you through everything. It may still be kind of hard, but at the end of the day, you know God is on your side because you have walked faithfully. You have been disciplined. You have been consistent. You have been obedient, and God will not go against his word, which is he will never leave you or forsake you. He is there for you in everything, and he will make a way of escape. He will deliver you in every hard time if you turn to him. "The way of a warrior is unwavering and steadfast through all trouble and every attack. If we are not disciplined, consistent, and obedient, we will not be steadfast in the day of trouble." Lack of discipline, consistency, and obedience cause major cracks in our foundation. When trouble comes, the house will crumble. So everybody's got to understand that these aren't just things that's like, well, maybe I can be disciplined, maybe I can be consistent, maybe I'll be a little obedient, stuff like that. You got to understand that we are building a foundation. When you first come in, there's a foundation that's being laid before you. God is prepping the subgrade. He's getting everything cleaned up. He's making everything strong. He's making everything firm. If you play games with one area, there's a crack in your foundation. So you may be disciplined for a little bit, maybe consistent for a little bit, maybe obedient a little bit. But then when that day of trouble comes and you're like, "Lord, where are you, man? You're supposed to have my back and all this stuff." You've got open doors to the enemy. I'm not saying that you're going to fall flat on your face every time. I mean, depending on what you got going on, there's a possibility you will. And that foundation will completely crumble. That house will fall on you. You're going to fall off. But things can be a whole lot harder than they have to be. Amen. By not maintaining, being consistent, being disciplined, being obedient. I know we make mistakes. You know, we have mistakes that we make and all that, and we reap what we sow. But it is vitally important that the Lord is trying to build a house. And before he can build that house, he's got to have a firm foundation for that house to set on, for you to be able to stand in the day of trouble, and for him to have your back in the day of trouble. Amen? So do not take for granted and do not take lightly the rules, the regulations, and the things that you think are stupid. They are here for a reason. And even if they are stupid, if you can't submit to them, you just messed up your foundation. Bottom line, there was a rule that they had in the house when I was coming through that I thought was the dumbest thing ever. I wasn't allowed to look out the window. I probably talked about this before, but the house mayor said, you can't stand by the window. You can't look out the window. I'm thinking, who told you that? Why can't I look out the window? As stupid as it seems, it's an opportunity to either be rebellious or obedient. It's an opportunity for God to sever the old, or to be able to sever the old and step you into the new. Who cares what the rule is? I don't care if they say you got to walk on 1 foot to the bedroom. You got to hop. That might be stupid, but if you can submit to that, God will honor it. He will always honor your obedience when you are obedient to your authority. If you can't be obedient to the authority God's put in your life, you're not being obedient to God. You're not going to trick yourself or trick anybody else. Those are the rules. We didn't make them. They're in the Bible. Let's see here. Psalm 45, starting at verse 1. So discipline, consistency, obedience, steadfastness. This should bring you to a place of humility. And also, being humble gets you to a place where you can be disciplined, consistent, obedient, and steadfast. Amen. If any of this stuff you're doing ever brings you to a place of being puffed up, you know you're out of order. The glory always goes to God. It's not anything you did. It's not any decision you made. It's not anything that you chose that got you to a place of having the favor of the Lord. Because the bottom line is, there was a mind exchange that took place. He put his mind in you, which caused you to make those decisions and do the right thing. So in everything, God gets the glory. You know, David in the battle was, he was a mighty warrior. Won battles everywhere he went. It would have been real easy for him to say, man, I'm a mighty warrior. I'm stinking awesome, man. I got the best fighting squad around. We could take on anybody, all this stuff. And he knew without a doubt in his mind, the only reason he had any favor or any victory or anything came good in his life was because it came from God. He had the Lord before him in everything. Every decision that he made that was good, he knew it was of God. Every decision he made that was stupid, he cried out to God and asked for forgiveness and please have mercy on me because I know I opened the door to the enemy. So just make sure that you are maintaining to God be the glory. 45 verse 1, it says, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty, and in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. So again, he knows they're going out to war. They're fighting these battles. They're winning these battles. But he knows it's only because of God. God is granting the victory. Your throne, verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. One more. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Our heart must be set in a position of always giving God the glory. We must live in a place of knowing that we are nothing without him. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we know when we've learned it, we want to get to a place where God can trust us. Amen. You know, all the rebuilding in your life, all the stuff that the enemy has stolen, God is not going to replace it if he can't trust you. He's not going to give you what you're not ready to handle. Amen. So we know that discipline, consistency, obedience, steadfastness, humility leads us to a place of earning God's trust. And Him knowing that they've walked through all these steps down this narrow path, and they've come to this point where now I'm ready to start releasing things. Now I'm ready to start giving things back and blessing and bringing things. Because once you've completed the will of God, He releases the promise. Amen. So Luke 16, starting at verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or the things of the world, who will commit to you trust in the true riches, which are the things of heaven? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So walking in discipline, consistency, obedience, steadfastness, and humility will bring us to a position where God can trust us. Once you have fulfilled the will of God, the promise is released. So in this, we all have things that we are waiting to be returned. Children, jobs, finance, whatever it is. You know, there's a powerful scripture that we've heard a lot. And it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In His time. Amen. Not our time. Not the time we think. Not when we want it. In His time. Stay faithful in position. Do the things that He's called you to do. And God will bless you with every spiritual blessing. It's a promise. You know, one of the most powerful things to recognize and understand is God desires for us to be prosperous. He does. But first and foremost, He desires us to be prosperous in the Spirit, in our spiritual walk with Him. So if the first thing you're desiring is finances, vehicles, family, children, and all that stuff, you're out of order. Because without walking in right standing with the Lord, all that stuff's going to crumble again and again and again, which is what's happened to us again and again and again. We've lost everything, time and time again, hurt everybody. Nobody wants us to be around. It's an amazing thing to be able to go places that used to hate you and couldn't stand you and not have everybody hide their purses and wallets and laptops and all that stuff. It's a blessing, man. It's a blessing to be handed the key to a front door. I mean, it sounds small to a lot of people, but for me, that's a big deal. I worked hard to be untrustworthy. I mean, I put in a lot of work to be untrustworthy. Nobody wanted me around. And I've worked even harder to be found trustworthy. And it is a blessing. So forget money and finances, man. Those things, you can't buy trust. And that only comes from the throne. Because God built that. And if He built it, He's going to maintain it. So, as I said earlier, that this is, glue just doesn't seem like a strong enough word. This is what holds it all together. You can be disciplined, you can be consistent, you can be obedient, you can be steadfast, you can be trustworthy, but if you're not a true worshiper in truth and in spirit, all that stuff's not going to measure up to nothing. Because without being a true worshiper, one who comes in and gives God everything, one who comes in and praises Him no matter what you're going through, one who gives Him the glory in everything, blesses His holy name in everything, and thanks Him every single day with all your heart. If you are not a true worshiper, all that other stuff will crumble. And here's the other kicker. If you are a true worshiper who comes in and gives it your all every single time, presses in, He will begin to strengthen your weaknesses in those other areas. If you're lacking in discipline, because you're a true worshiper and giving Him your all, He's going to start building up your discipline. He's going to start building up your consistency. He's going to start causing you to be obedient. Because in His presence is where it all comes from anyway. Amen? So, being a true worshiper, one who presses in and seeks His face every time to touch Him, is a must. It is has to be done. It is the most vital part of this whole thing. And it says in Psalms 96, verses 1, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all his peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. I probably said a lot of this already, but being a true worshiper is the key to walking in the way of a warrior. You will never be a warrior without daily fulfilling your first call as a priest to the Lord. True worship allows the Holy Spirit to bring strength and healing to every area you lack. It doesn't matter how much we maintain everything else. Without being a true worshiper, we're nothing. So again, you can be good at all these other things, but if you're not a true worshiper, all that stuff will be for nothing. Eventually, you're going to fall. Psalms 101, and we'll close here. So when we are truly a worshiper who worships in truth and spirit, we give him our all and everything. We're here to praise him. We're here to worship him. We're here to touch him, not to just get touched. When we are disciplined, consistent, obedient, steadfast, humble. What's the other one? Trustworthy. Yeah. You are now walking in the way of a true warrior. Amen. And this psalm, to me, when I read it and I see it, this is like the definition of the entire walk of each and every one of these seven attributes, or whatever I called them at the beginning. These seven characteristics of Christ. Amen. So let's all read it together. And proclaim this, confess this in your life. It says, is everybody there? 101, verse 1. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell in my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that psalm, man. That's a constant reminder for me and everything that we need to be doing as far as first striking, as far as what we allowed in, what we do not allow in. Amen. Who we allow in and who we don't allow in. The conversations we allow around ourselves. It is vitally important, especially in these times, that we fight to stay on the path of being a worthy warrior for the kingdom of God. The enemy is running crazy, trying to pull everybody out of position, trying to get everybody he can destroyed in these times that we're in. Don't allow the voice of the stranger to draw you out and pull you out of your destiny and your call that God has for you. And even more so for the lives that he has called for you to save. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and we bless you, Lord. We thank you so much for showing up and showing out today, Father. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. And we just ask, Father, that you would continue to cause each and every one of us to not take what you've given us for granted. as we welcome you in this time that we take communion.